I'm Hannah Elizabeth.
And I'm Kate Mitchell.
And welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh yeah, I like that.
We're six months later.
6 months later. We are, and today we are finally going to wrap up Fred and Rose. I mean, we've dragged this out over probably a year.
No, Han, we're a year old in like October, you know, November.
What?
Yeah.
Are
we're
we?
A year old, we've done about 10 episodes.
Hey, we're going to have a party.
No, because remember we announced we were doing it on Halloween.
Yeah.
We announced on Halloween last year, like, oh my God, we're doing a podcast. And then I think we launched like maybe November time.
Okay, so we'll defo have to do like a little, I'm absolutely sweating by the way.
It's birthday, we're in Hannah's conservatory.
It's roasting.
Yeah, I can't remember if you mentioned this last time, but...
We've got all stuff around us,
like... So that we're both homeless at the minute. No, we're not homeless, but we've got nowhere to record, so we're in Hannah's conservatory, in a mum's conservatory, which is full of hair furniture, ready for her new house.
Oh my God.
It's sweating.
It's like, what's it, a greenhouse?
Yeah, literally. And it's, I'm tracking up because it's a Sunday. And shouldn't be, because it's absolutely scorching.
I've got a bra on and I'm like literally sweating. But you know what I'm so excited for? We're both moving into our new houses in the next month.
Well, hopefully mine will be, this has been going on for about a year. Buying a house is not cool, kids, but it will be worth it. So I'm hoping I'll be in it in October.
And we'll have somewhere to then obviously... Once a week, weekly do our recordings. I'm going to, it's been your birthday, we need to do like, I'm going to cook you a big birthday dinner. We'll do our weekly red wine and our recordings. Yeah, so we'll be back and
Yeah, we haven't got a wine today, it's Sunday morning-ish.
I know, and
I feel sick. Hannah's not well, which is powering through, so we'll be back to normal. I know we've said this every week, so we must sound like dead.
I know, we are.
But... Life's life, guys. We're just going to not put pressure on ourselves. We're going to put these things out as and when we can. But
it will definitely be
more consistent.
Because we'll have the routine back as well. We haven't had a routine, so... So we'll be back in a routine. And I actually really look forward to... I text Kate the other day because I miss them nights of you coming round, having the wine, cooking, like...
And then...
I'd be like, Kate, do me a pic. I need you to do me a pic.
Yeah, content first.
Yeah.
Then we'd eat, have wine, and then we'd be rotten and we'd blast some tunes in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And record.
Make sure we get them back up and running because it's been a while.
And it's getting to my favourite time of year, guys, Halloween. So...
Spooky season.
Obviously, I do all my house up for Halloween. It's like my big thing, so... I have to be in this house before October because I love doing my tree, my table runner, this, that, and the other. It's all ready.
The Ouija boards.
The lot. My centrepiece. But anyway, right, chatting shit. So today's episode is really, really short. It's not even an episode, basically. It's just a little ending to. Because it was so long, obviously, the story. So I just want to kind of tell you a few facts about after, you know, they'd been arrested and all that kind of thing and what happened. And it's a really short episode. So, yeah, guys.
Let's get into it.
So this is Fred and Rose, The Aftermath, part 3. So where we left off. Fred had been arrested and 3 bodies had been found at 25 Cromwell Street, which led Fred to then confess to 6 more burial sites of victims in the house.
Yeah.
At this time, Rose had obviously, where we'd left off, she'd been put in like a safe house, like taken out the way. Well, we thought she was, well, we knew. They did. Police went and later had uncovered 6 more dead bodies at the house. So it's like, how could Rose not have known when there was all these murders and dead bodies?
Just flying around the house.
Around the house. You know, I'm sure you'd think, what am I falling up to? Despite Fred's insistence that she had no knowledge at all of any of the murders, investigators obviously suspected otherwise. As you would, and Rose was arrested on the 20th of April 1994. So she was initially arrested on offences relating to the rape of an 11-year-old girl and also the physical assault of an 8-year-old boy. But both these charges were dating back to the mid-1970s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stunning.
But then obviously they got her on everything else.
Everything else, yeah. But it's at least it's good that they had her on something to keep her in.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, gathered all the evidence and stuff, I imagine.
So the next day she was refused bail and she was transferred to a prison to be held in a maximum security wing. Good. Here, she was questioned more closely about all of the murders, in particular those of her daughter, Heather, and Linda Goff. And on the 25th of April, she was formally charged with the murder.
Good.
By May the 6th, Fred and Rose were jointly charged with 5 counts of murder. Rose just kept insisting this whole time that she was innocent. 46 interviews were held with Rose, and every single one,
46? She,
yeah, and every asked? Single
it'd
one.
Be dead interest. Sorry to.
I know. I was gonna say I want to see that.
It'd be dead interesting to like do it, but then also like boring because it'll be the same.
The same. Shit. Like no, I'm innocent. Oh. So every single one, she stuck by her innocence, basically, as well as the murders at Cromwell Street. Fred confessed to murders of his first wife and stepdaughter. He also admitted knowing the locations of Anne McFall's remains, even though he always denied killing her for some reason.
Oh.
Fred, he did agree to the police to identify each burial location.
Yeah, good.
He was transferred to Birmingham HM Prison, where a strict suicide watch was called for his cell every 15 minutes to make sure he didn't. Pop off. Fred and Rose were brought before a magistrate's court in Gloucester on the 30th of June 1994, and he was charged with 12 murders, 12, and she was charged with 9. This was the first time they'd actually seen each other since.
I was just going to say, yeah, wouldn't that be mad?
Yeah, oh my God, I'm like eating dust. This is. This was the first time they'd seen each other since Fred was arrested in February. Prior to the hearing, the formal charges against them, Fred leaned towards his wife and gently placed his hand on her upper shoulder. In response, Rose just completely ignored her husband's presence. And when he touched her, she winced in discomfort.
That might have been part of her, like, you know, because she was claiming.
Yeah, like, you're disgusting.
Like, yeah.
Like, she's playing.
Yeah.
And both were ordered and held on remand. As police led him out the courtroom, he again attempted to move towards Rose, and again, she just wiggled, like,
yeah.
Get off, basically.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying E, but, like, they're both E.
Immediately after the court appearance, Fred was rearrested on suspicion of murdering Anne McFall.
Yeah, because that's the one he was denied.
Denies.
Yeah.
Whose body had been found on 7th of June, but not been officially identified until this date.
That's what I mean. So I think that's where they've gone, like, this is another one. He showed them where the body is.
Yeah.
Must have something to do with it.
As he was held on remand at HM Prison Birmingham in the month following his arrest, he became increasingly depressed. This became worse after Rose's public rejection of him at the court on the 30th of June. Also, her refusal to reply to any of the letters he sent to her.
He should have been allowed to.
I know, I was going to say, yeah, how are they allowed?
That is bizarre because it's like almost giving them. Obviously, it's good that she blanked him in a way, but then it's given him the opportunity to speak to her, which is wrong.
Reported also leaked to the press that Rose had, like, assumed the role of a grieving mother who had lost a daughter, a stepdaughter, to her husband.
No, hun. No, never.
And she declared innocent for both of the murders and how much she hated Fred. She'd, like, the press had got hold of this as well. So he's obviously seeing stuff, isn't he? Basically, Rose was, like, reading and blanking him.
Yeah.
And he couldn't bear it.
Left them on red.
Left them on red, but like his letters. Listen to this. This is so cheeky. Fred also begged his two children, Stephen and Anna Maria, by the way, who he's put through absolute hell and ruined the life. Yeah. They visited their father when he was on remand.
What?
Yeah. He pleaded with them that how much he loved their mother, Rose, and how much she'd not even acknowledged him. And basically how much he was getting blanked. So he was trying to tell the kids probably for them to maybe to step in and do something. Yeah. What the fuck, no, mate. I wouldn't have even gone and seen him. After a while, after getting blanked, I think he took the hint and he withdrew his confession of him, you know, saying he'd acted alone in the murders. He withdrew and said that actually he accused her of being totally involved in all the murders and he actually blamed her for some of them.
What did she expect? Like, does she genuinely think, like, it's sound, I'm just going to play innocent and let it take the rap? Of course he's then going to flip one time and go, you're cheeky.
Yeah, I know.
Sweet, wouldn't you? You'd be writing back, being like, thanks,
babe. But then, you said, in front of the press and, like, the courtroom, maybe you would have to, like, play, or, like, me physically sick. But on the snitch, you could be writing back, like, oh, hey, nice babe.
Side, yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck? She's just a psycho.
I was
going
to say, it was mostly her anyway.
So I found this really mad, by the way. So the initial, like, strict suicide watch that he had put in place at first had been a little bit relaxed by this time. And on January the 1st, 1995, Fred killed himself in a cell by wrapping a rope that he'd made himself, constructed from a blanket and tags he had stole from the prison's laundry bags, around his neck, and then attaching them to a door handle and a window catchment. He sank to his knees and he died. At the bottom of his cell also was a suicide note with a little drawing of a gravestone. And on the gravestone he'd wrote, "In love and memory, Fred West, Rose West, rest in peace where no shadow falls. In perfect peace he waits for Rose, his wife."
What?
And you can Google this. And here's the suicide note. I'll read it to you.
Oh, go on. Love this.
"To Rose West, Steve and May." And again, trying to be nice to your kid, you fucking prick.
You killed half of them.
I know. "To Rose West, Steve and May. Well, Rose, it's your birthday on 29th of November 1994. I mean, I don't get that. And you will be 41. And still beautiful and still lovely and I love you. We will always be in love. The most wonderful thing..."
That's about his daughter.
No, about...
Oh, that's about Rose. Oh, I thought about daughter. I was going to say pardon.
No.
Yeah.
"We will always be in love. The most wonderful thing in my life was when I met you. Our love is special to us. So, love, keep your promises to me. You know what they are. Where we are put together forever and ever is up to you. We loved Heather, both of us." Cheeky. "I would love Charmaine to be with Heather and Rena. You will always be Mrs. West all over the world. That is important to me and to you. I haven't got you a present, but all I have is my life, so I will give it to you, my darling. When you are ready, come to me. I'll be waiting for you." What the fuck?
Special places in hell for both of you.
Yeah.
And it ain't together.
Never. So, after this, Rose went on to plead not guilty to the 10 charges of murder.
Clever move.
In his opening statement, the prosecutor, Brian Leaveson, portrayed the West as sex-obsessed, sadistic murderers, which they were.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he termed the bodies discovered at Cromwell Street secret more terrible than words can ever express.
I was just going to say, how do you even explain that?
Exactly. Prosecution witnesses included Cromwell Street lodgers, victims, relatives, Rose's mother Daisy and sister Glenys.
Oh.
also surviving victims including Anna Marie West, Catherine Halliday, who's a former lover of the Wests, Caroline Owens, and a Mrs. A, who had been sexually assaulted at 14 by Fred and Rose in 1977, and who described Rose as more the more aggressive perpetrator of the two. So all them people have come and spoke out, which is like mad, isn't it? After 7 weeks of evidence, the jury gave unanimous guilty verdicts for all 10 murders, calling the crimes appalling and depraved. She was sentenced to life in prison, emphasising how she should never ever be paroled.
It's mad because in the UK, that's like quite rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
Life without ever.
Yeah, because they always seem to get some. Yeah.
I'm sure there's only like a handful of people who've ever had that sentence.
Really?
Yeah.
She was one of them.
But, yeah.
Rose West is still alive and serving a life sentence in prison in West Yorkshire. So Rose West is actually still alive and serving her life sentence in a prison in West Yorkshire. The West House in Cromwell Street was demolished in October 1996 with every piece of debris destroyed. Because, and this is what, obviously it didn't make me laugh, but it was to, they got rid of the house to discourage potential souvenir hunters, like Kate, who tried to buy, buy a brick from Jeffrey Dahmer's house, so just to stop like freaks like you trying to go and buy like little pieces of Cromwell Street.
To explain, I think I have explained this before on the pod, but if you're new here,
I'm Harlan.
I tried to make like a memorabilia collection because I thought it was dead cool to have like bits, and not trophies because I'm not like obviously a serial killer, but bits that I could buy that were either touched by a real serial killer or were from their house or whatever. I thought it was dead good. Then looked into it and realised it's absolute dough because these things go for like hundreds of thousands of pounds. Then I came across a brick that was from Jeffrey Dahmer's house, apparently. So I found it on eBay, put a bid on, then obviously came to me senses, and that's, like, I didn't buy the brick, okay? I didn't start the memorabilia collection, just so he's aware. But I'm screaming that you've brought that up, Anne. But it makes sense why they had to knock that down, because people will absolutely...
Do you know what I mean? People would
say, oh, this is from Cromwell Street.
Yeah, so obviously to kind of discourage... Oh, my God. I know, and, like, I know this sounds weird, but I would actually be quite interested to stand on that street, and it must feel really weird.
Yeah, I wonder if like the energy is different.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I would actually like to see it.
Well, I think that far we could go.
Where is it again? Gloucester.
Gloucester.
But where's that from here?
I mean, I say that like I know. I don't actually have a clue.
Okay,
but
you can drive us one time.
Okay. But it won't be... Yeah, Gloucestershire is... Oh, it's about 3 hours away.
Oh, all right, Sam. But yeah, let's go. And maybe, like...
We'll just see.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to...
We'll see.
I would like to see the roads.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, like, talk to the neighbours, but they're probably sick of that.
Yeah. But anyway.
It had been referred to in the press as the House of Horrors. God, you can say that again.
Oh, no.
And it was redeveloped into a public pathway.
I was going to say, yeah, because they couldn't build on it again. Like, it's not right to build on it again.
No.
So it's just, like, a fun affair. Like,
must be so haunted.
Yeah.
The children... So this is just a little thing about the children. In 1999, Anne-Marie West attempted suicide by drowning herself in the River Severn. Stephen West is also known to have made a suicide attempt in 2002 by attempting to hang himself.
See, that's what's sad about all this. It's like the aftermath. Obviously,
I know. Victims,
but then it's the new victims that come from it.
That's what I mean. It's, these kids have been put through hell. And obviously, like, this is, you know, this is a notoriously famous murder all over the world. They're always going
to
be, like, known.
I'd have to change your name. Oh, 100%. And, yeah.
In 2004, he was jailed for 9 months for having sex, for having unlawful sex with a 14-year-old girl on multiple occasions. The couple's younger son, Barry, took his own life via a suspected drug overdose in October 2020.
Oh.
at the age of 40. He is known to have battled a drug addiction and psychiatric problems as a result of the abuse he witnessed and endured as a child.
I was going to say, I don't actually blame all of them.
I would so like, be, like,
I mean,
on every...
the 14-year-olds, yeah, not the bad, but a prob- we don't yeah. know the situation. We can't, you know, they went through hell and it's not right, but...
And I actually, I have mentioned it earlier on in my last, in episode 2... But I can't remember what one of the kids it is. But remember, I said they wrote a book.
Yeah, I know, we need to listen to the
book. We actually need to. Read that it, is yeah. absolutely madness. So we need to read that.
I get it, like, they might not be able to work because of, like, the depression, whatever, so they need to make money. But I would not be claiming to be their kid.
No.
I would be, like, in America.
Imagine meeting a fella and, like, oh, guess what? I mean, by the way, I've got something to tell you. Like, my mum and dad was Fred and Rose. But. It's not their fault, is
no, it's
it?
Not,
do you know
it's
what I mean?
Like,
it's shit.
For my own peace of mind, I just would never be associated with
no,
that.
I'd be like,
on.
Don't know who they are.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
So.
I have to read that book anyway.
So, yeah, this is just something else. Like, there was a documentary on. It wasn't even that long ago. We'll write it down. And it was about Rose and Myra Hindley
yeah.
apparently having, like, a lesbian relationship in jail.
See, that. Baffles me, like, how they were even able to communicate.
No, I don't get yeah. it, surely.
They should be kept in separate
But obviously they have got so much in common.
Yeah, they do,
must be like,
but
oh.
But it shouldn't be like, oh, hon, let's discuss.
Like, oh my God, we're so, like, we're like the maddest fucking nuttiest women ever. Let's have a little
together.
Fling together.
I
can't, this might be totally wrong, but I'm sure Myra Hindley was the more, like, dominant one in the relationship. One of them was, and one of them was quite, like, under the thumb, and
yeah.
I'm sure that was Rose. Like, she was known to be a bit more quiet in jail, and like people who were.
But even still, it's just that the fact that they even
I can't get over it
in the same building.
There's people on this documentary. It weren't even that long ago. It was called like Rose and Myra. It's defo ITV. Yeah.
Or like the next past 2 years.
And there's women in there, you know, that were obviously in there with them who had like done things not as bad or whatever. And they talk on it and they were like, yeah, Rose was really like shy and bloody. And it's like,
fuck,
imagine
Rose.
Even just knowing, like, oh yeah, I was just like having a cup of tea with Rose.
No.
But definitely watch that.
I know that this is very American, but like they should be kept in solitary confinement.
100%.
Forever. Like, only have guards. Like,
yeah.
Should be able to sit in the mess hall or whatever it's called in the canteen.
No, I'm sure they put, never mind mingling with Myra.
And having sex or whatever.
No.
Not a chance.
And that, everyone, is a story that will go down as one of Britain's most notorious evil killers, murders, whatever, that will go down in history because it is that shocking.
Yeah.
It's fucked. We will never, ever, you know, hopefully see anything like
well,
that
yeah,
again.
That's
but yeah, could go on forever, but...
I
well, I did a year,
yeah,
but
you get
three parts, and there you go.
And that, everyone, is why
you don't talk to strangers. Woo!
Girls, we finished it.
We done. Right, I've got sweat dripping down my
face. Okay, we're going to end it here, but just follow us on Instagram, Don't Talk to Strangers Podcast. Email us, donttalktostrangerspod@gmail.com, I think. I don't know, I haven't checked, something like that. It's on our email button. Twitter is DTTSpoddy, and I think that's everything. So yeah, just follow us. We're going to be more consistent, hopefully. Maybe we'll
hope
see.
So.
Thank you for listening.
Love yous.
Bye.
Try.